Right. I caught some of the, late last night, I caught a news, what was laughingly referred to as a news bulletin on the BBC. Now, anyone who's been reading the website will know that I refer to the BBC as the Bread, Beer, Circus Corporation. Now, that is because, in line with the techniques used by mankind's manipulators, stretching way, way back through the mists of time to Babylon, through to the Phoenicians, all of those Freemasonic influences, the hidden hand of the global financiers, have used well proven techniques for controlling mankind. And the BBC is a well-oiled weapon of mass distraction, which is undoubtedly one aspect of the state apparatus that is used to directly rinse the minds of the unsuspecting, unthinking and uncritical audiences who swallow their unadulterated bile. pick your own suitable epithet. Either way, it's a poisonous system of lies that gets spun out from the BBC, and late last night was no exception. Now, there was some, I mean, this woman was big, but she was the size, you would say, probably the width of one of the helicopters that she was describing that had been shot down in Afghanistan. So we had the usual rubbish being trotted out from the Prime Minister. Minister, of course, is a religious role. The Prime Minister coming out with some nonsense about how in times like this, when a British helicopters of serving troops in Afghanistan has been shot down, we have to come together. Classic collectivist, classic statist doctrine being as espoused by the products of the banking family that owned the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank operating out of Hong Kong, which made a mint on the proceeds of the opium trade. Hello there, alive. Good. On the proceeds of the opium trade. The monies that were being, as always, laundered were through HSBC. And Cameron is from a family who have links. To put it mildly, they have links. But I think they were actually involved in the establishment of HSBC. His family wealth it dates back to those times. So he's an arch manipulator. But this woman, what struck me about her was that she was, she was about the width of one of the helicopters she was describing had been shot down. She was dressed in black, and she had a slightly butch quality about her. Black hair, very formal expression, and a very, very formal style of speaking. And call it me intuition, call it me superstition, or call it me paranoia, but as I was watching her and observing this pious nonsense about, you know, the victims, our boys who were the victims of this unprovoked attack. Of course, there's never any mention about the unprovoked drone attacks and all the atrocities that take place against the indigenous peoples of Afghanistan. It occurred to me, as I was watching her, that she was in fact an MI5 agent, because such was her style. It was delivered with what you could term military precision. She was someone who's been very well trained. And if I've got the chance, I may even try and find out who she is. Nevertheless, it got me to thinking about this, and the BBC is undoubtedly controlled by the secret services. MI5, most likely. And anyone who questions that, really, I'm afraid, isn't looking deep enough. This manipulation, the very creation of MI5, harkens back to the days of Elizabeth I. And before that, we had the intrigue of the Henry the Eighth years. And at that time, the likes of Francis Walsingham, John Dee, Francis Bacon, Christopher Marlowe, were all working as spies. And the original 007, correct me if I'm wrong, was John Dee. Now, in the 500 years that ensued since that time, anyone who thinks that the manipulations of man's consciousness via these agencies, whose purpose is indeed just that, anyone thinks that they've kind of slipped away into the background and are no longer, well, not slipped away into the background, just slipped away completely and no longer in operation, is, I'm afraid, hopelessly wrong. Because the whole thing, as it's becoming increasingly clear to me now, is indeed a stage. And everything is worked from behind the scenes. This woman who was presenting this absolute piffle, almost vomit-inducing, one-sided official report, which could have come directly from the Ministry of Defence, such was the blatantly propagandist tone of it, she's part of that. And it got me to thinking, how many such agents of MI5 are in fact working at the BBC? It's an interesting question. You know, I was someone who was actually brought up is the wrong word, but I was a regular consumer of the BBC's output right throughout my life up until, I don't know, about 8 years ago, when I just couldn't stomach it anymore. You know, the thing that really used to get on me nerves was the jingles that they used to use on Five Live. Five Live, Five Live. It was just constantly repeating itself. Live, live. Well, a more moribund collection of news reporters, pseudo-journalists and sportscasters would be hard to imagine. So maybe that's why they have to keep saying live, in order to convince the listener that it is in fact not from the realms of the dead. So the BBC, you know, bed, beer and circuses, and you've got to question everything that they're putting out, even down to good old David Attenborough being a eugenicist. Who would have thought that? A lot of these people who seem to have animal rights issues, by which I mean that those issues are prominent in their thinking and in their conscious mindset, are often remiss in that whilst they may pay attention to animal rights, they pay very little attention to mankind's unalienable rights. And I'm not going to use the word human, because hue means from of the colour. Human is the colour of man. And each and every one of us on this planet, you could say, is not human. We are man, collectively. As a mass of individuals, we are man. So, you begin to see just what lurks behind the curtain. But this woman, clad in black, I suppose like a steely version of Don French in The Vicar of Dibley, if I may use a BBC reference, was delivering, you know, essentially the official line, a cover-up, a fake story. And this was also another story, again, I quote it briefly because I can't really tolerate watching TV, but my dad had the telly on, so there was a story, and I'm using the word advisedly, the story was that some special observers had been captured in, I think it was in the Crimea, And the BBC was blatantly describing them as special observers. I turned to my dad and I says, what they mean, of course, is spies. And we then moved from a shot of these guys being led into a courtroom, all looking very shifty, one has to say, by their captors, who were these, I think they were pro-Russian forces, but, you know, quite what's going on there is anyone's guess. And sure enough, the Russians were claiming that they were, in fact, they captured these fellows and they were indeed spies. And I don't doubt for 1 minute that that is the case. But the blatant propaganda of the BBC was no more blatant than in that moment when they parroted out the official line, which these guys were special observers. You know, that would be the same as describing John Dee as a special observer, or for a fictional character like James Bond, upon whom John Dee was based, to be called a special observer. It's this bastardization of the language, it's the misuse of language, it's the deliberate veiling of the truth by way of newspeak, as George Orwell may well term it. And that's why, of course, as I stated in the previous Rogue cast, in times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. You're listening to a Rogue cast. It's Monday, the 28th of April, and the Rogue male is out wandering once again in a valley to the west of a former mill town known as Longwood. If you're enjoying these roadcasts, by the way, and I enjoy recording them, so on that premise alone, I'm guessing there'll be a few people out there who enjoy them too, and you'd like to make a donation by way of your appreciation, then please do so. There's a button on the website. You can go on there, it's set at 25 units, but you can adjust it to greater or to lesser than that. It's entirely up to you. And even if you can only spare what you would maybe spend in a Costa or a Starbucks coffee emporium, that's fine. Anything is appreciated right now. So, we're back on the subject of the BBC. As a blatant statist propaganda mechanism. You know, and as if to rub salt into the wounds, they have this whole licensing nonsense. Now, why would I say that licensing is a nonsense? Licensing, and if you read the article I put up about the DVLA and deregistering one's private motorised chariot, you'll see there that there is a definition of license. Now, license means freedom. You know, you've got the license, just like I have now, I've got the license to roam. The birds have the license to sing spring choruses in the trees. The freedom is there. It exists. It's palpable. It's real. The scam, of course, is to trick people via this usual status bullshit into the erroneous belief that they can be given freedoms by the state, that the state can grant them that which is already theirs, and in so doing, charge them a fee. You know, come on, people, what the fuck is going on? How did we get to this stage? I was speaking with an associate of mine, Michael of Benicia, the other day, and you know, he doesn't pull any punches, and he was saying that really, it's the previous generation, the one before us, our parents' generation, really, who have got to take some of the responsibility for the current state that things are in. Because they've never questioned it. They've just gone along with it. The lies of the politicians, the deceptions of the media, the erroneous claims of the fake NHS. And, you know, some might say, well, that's a bit harsh, because, of course, there'll always be exceptions to that. But generally speaking, he's got a point. And I wonder, you know, you see, this is another effect that we may need to consider about warfare and the effect that the Second World War had on the generation that was born around that time. In terms of, you know, it provided the status with every opportunity to kind of ratchet it up a bit and exert more control over the people. You know, especially if you're appealing to a nationalistic sense of pride. You know, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Never mind the fact that your country is in fact a fictional concept. And that's what we're dealing with, of course. It's just a series of fictions. This is why anyone who's going to court, as I stated the other day, as the fiction, or using their fictional family name in an attempt to get remedy, needs to be prepared for disappointment. Because what you're doing is you're dealing with, you're expecting truth in a system that's built on lies. And that's why the BBC is never to be trusted. The idea that you need a license, that you need to buy the freedom to watch the BBC, is absolutely beyond illogical. And yet people swallow it. And some people even defend it. Oh, look, we've got to get on with it. Yeah, I know it's all wrong. We've just got to get on with it. We've got to accept it. It's usually the kind of attitude that ends up with people being pushed around because they don't say no often enough. And Larkin Rose touches on this in a video that he put out, I think, on the 6th or the 8th, 7th of April, which is about Nazis, you know. And he's asking the question, why are Nazis wrong? And a Nazi, remember, is someone of any political hue. You know, people have got to get also beyond these false paradigms of left and right, of fascist and socialist. You remember that Hitler was a national socialist. There's a lot of apologists out there for Adolf Hitler right now. And I don't know whether it's because they've got this kind of mental issue that demands that we have a father figure to come and sort everything out. There, son. Daddy's here. Step aside. I'll take control of it. Hitler knew that was an archetype that worked. And, you know, why did he employ Goebbels if he was dealing with the truth? Why would you run these... You know, the truth is that all power lies in the individual. That man is not here to be controlled. As I've stated before, beneath it all, there lies the beats of rebel heart. That is man's natural condition. If Adolf Hitler had been dealing in the truth, he would have acknowledged that, and he wouldn't have attempted, in his cohorts, to psychologically manipulate the population, as he so self-evidently did. You know, what do you think the Nuremberg rallies were about? You know, and Larkin Rose makes the point, most succinctly, that each of these fellows who came into power in the 20th century, Mao, Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, Obama, Cameron, all basically came along with the view that there was a they were establishing a republic of the people, with a constitution which will enshrine their rights. But of course they were all collectivists, because they were all saying, we're the people. This is for the good of everyone. I mean, that bitch Hillary Clinton stated as much when she said that we've really got to stop pandering to the rights of the individual and cater for the people, the masses. Utter horseshit. Because it's not true. There is no we the people. It's just statism. Run rampant. Anyone who's truly seeking freedom, right, needs to be finding it within themselves. Because the answers do not lie anywhere else. And anyone that would suggest otherwise is a liar. And quite why they would wish to lie to you is easily answered. It's all about control. It's all about fake authority. People who are so mentally ill, they believe that they are able to determine what's good for the majority. Take, for instance, the issue of fluoride. Now, if there are some people out there who haven't looked at all the information, seriously consider that fluoride is good for their health, I say, fine, those individuals should be able to go out and buy fluoride and put it in their foodstuffs and their water supply as they see fit. After all, they are free to do that. But they are not fucking free to put it in other people's foodstuffs and water supplies just because someone in a position of fake authority has bought the marketing lie that fluoride is good for one's teeth. Absolute fucking palpable nonsense. You see, this is it. This is why they're all destined to fail. We've had 1,000 years of this. And as more and more individuals come up, wake up, come round to the truth of the matter, then the less power the statists have. In that sense, their bloody grip on it all is beginning to come a little bit loose. If that's not becoming a little bit loose, they may well be hanging on by just the fingernails before too long. Another friend invited me to a group meditation session the other week. And I wrote back to her to say, you know, I'm someone who's actually participated in so-called group meditations in the past. I wrote back to her to say that, you know, I'd reached that point where I know that all power lies in the individual and that I wouldn't be able to come along and sit with a group of others in such a setting. Those days are long behind me, okay? I used to swallow the status bullshit. I've got no qualms about admitting that. But not anymore. You know, a lot of these... The meditation practice is misunderstood. Meditation is simply concentration. It's about giving your attention in any given moment to that which you are engaging in. In other words, you're carrying it out with total awareness. If you're reading a book, you focus your concentration on that which you're reading. If you're baking a cake, you concentrate on the recipe, on the blending of the ingredients. You put attention to that which you pay attention to will reap its rewards. So meditation is simply a way of concentrating the mind. And what those who are organising group meditations realise is that many people have got ever so chatty minds. They've never been taught the techniques for stilling the minds and for improving their levels of concentration. And of course, when they're watching television and engaging in gossip, they're certainly not going to be able to improve their levels of concentration and focus and awareness, because the television itself is a constant flow of disinformation, of gossip, speculation, and nonsense designed to fragment the mind. I've said it before, and it's worth repeating. Knowledge is the real currency. That is the real flow. That's why, right now, in spite of everything the state has thrown at me over the last 5 years, I feel I'm in a state of abundance, of wealth. And I don't think anyone who has been paying attention or who is close to me would argue with that. I mean, admittedly, I could do with a few grand of those illusory promissory tokens. But it doesn't matter. I'll get by one way or another. I'm still fucking here, in spite of all their attempts. And that's true of a lot of us who have withstood individually a barrage from the statists who were so desperate to keep the lid on things. Unfortunately, the damn wall, if it hasn't quite broken yet, is beginning to spring more and more leaks. And the statist solution is to throw more money at the problem, to employ more agent provocateurs, agents of disinformation, trolls, shills, to block, to dissuade, to confuse, to muddy the waters. But the waters cannot be muddied if one is drinking from the spring of truth. That gushes freely. There's nothing added to that. The truth doesn't need anything added to it. Because remember, the truth is what is. Simply, the truth is what is. That which is and that which was. You're listening to a Rogue Male Rogue Cast. I'm the Rogue Male, whoever he might be. But of course, the Rogue Male. Who is the Rogue Male? The Rogue Male is every man. One of the reasons I've been doing these roadcasts is that it gets me out of the house and away from those whose company is not really the sort of company I would actively seek out. You know, a lot of people say you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And that's certainly true, isn't it? Just because of the family doesn't mean to say you have to get on with them. But then again, there are irrefutable bonds and connections. And there is such a thing as loyalty, despite what people would have you believe. Sometimes you just got to do the right thing. You can't walk away from it. But anyway, that's one of the reasons, that's the main reason, but it gets me out of the house and gives me an opportunity to re-explore some of these landscapes that I've not really been in for some years now. So for those who are paying attention and know the area, I'm just passing across Outlane Golf Course right now, at the foot of a woodland, and I noticed, looking up there at the steep bank, that the bluebars are out. fantastic. You've got to love the bluebells. And beyond there is a place I mentioned before, Scapegoat Hill. Scapegoat Hill. Just taking a drink there, some spring water. That's pouring into an old stone trough. And I have to say, it's quite delicious. Most refreshing. So where was that? Yeah, these are kind of, so these have become, I suppose, spoken word essays, meanderings. And it's not something I've actively thought about doing. It just kind of has developed. And I was listening to a guy called Neil Kramer, who put out a Rome cast, and he was talking about how an English teacher of his had basically said to them all that if you can write well, then it follows that you'll be able to speak well. And I suppose it kind of all begins from there then. You may well be right. There's a fellow up there, young lad climbing a fallen tree, scrambling around like a chimpanzee. Last time I walked this path, I bumped into a woman. I think she was called Barbara. She had a dog called Gromit. And she was telling me about how a number of friends and her husband, who were all in the 60s, had developed cancer. This reminded me of a time when I was passing through Sheffield Station. This was only a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to check on the time of the connecting train I was catching. So I stepped into the foyer, and in the middle there was three youths of about 20 years of age wearing cancer research t-shirts, and they were stood in front of a stall with various pamphlets, and it was a promotion for Cancer Research Limited. And I said to him, well, I haven't got time to chat, but you do realise that you're propagating a series of lies here. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, there are many cures for cancer. One such cure, guaranteed, as far as the research would suggest, is high quality hemp oil. And this young lad basically said to me, oh yeah, I've seen it on the internet, there's no truth in it, you know, it doesn't really work. I said, look, and I realised at that point that young man, even though he was only 20, was really narrow-minded. And I don't think that's his natural state for 1 minute. I just think he's a product of whatever miseducation he'd been put through. And speaking of miseducation, I better be careful of this because it would sound like I'm without watching an inordinate amount of television, but I did catch William Hague talking on the television yesterday, saying that we will be applying sanctions to Russia and that they will bite. And I thought to myself, William Hague, you closet homosexual who's ensconced in a lavender marriage with Theon. You are a purveyor of lies, falsehoods, and deceptions. And, you know, this guy's a warmonger as well, which would suggest he has psychopathic tendencies. You know, what would Bill Hicks suggest we do with these people, if Bill Hicks were around now? Something dark, you would imagine. Because, let's face it, they're of absolutely no use whatsoever to this planet. They're a danger to the health of everyone living on these shores. So, whoever they might be, these people working for the BBC, don't be surprised if at some point it becomes blatantly obvious, patently obvious, that they are agents of one of the alphabet agencies, MI5, MI6. Many of them Tavistock influenced. Tavistock Institute has played its role in a number of these mass deceptions. And then, of course, you know, when you zoom out a bit further, you can see how we have these staged events that are put into play by these agent provocateurs who are working within the corridors of power. In fact, I was looking at some of the artwork of a guy whose name escapes me right now, but he was commissioned to work inside MI6 for a year, and he's done some interesting paintings. I'll maybe dig one out and link it to this program. Kind of shadowy watercolours of clandestine meetings by agents of the state, by MI5. And I thought, you know, that's the art that evokes the truth. It is all very clandestine. And one of them that stuck in my mind was an image of, I suppose it was almost like an internal internet cafe, you know, where you've got the desks with the divides between them. It's all kind of boxed off, and there was a number of agents working in there. They were being paid to go on the internet to discredit others who were actually putting out good information, and to discourage people from taking action, and basically to hijack associations. And this morning I've had to throw someone out of an association that I'm in on the basis that he's been telling porcupines, that he's a snake oil salesman. And I wouldn't be surprised if he also is working in some capacity as an agent for the state. Someone said to me the other week, this country right now, it's worse than being in East Germany before the wall came down, in terms of the number of agents that are at play. Now, that may or may not be the case, but one thing, as I was expressing on Saturday's Rogue Cast, is that the truth may be a little bit slow out of the starting blocks, but ultimately, eventually, it's going to catch up. These lies will just be, they will dissolve, because that which is built upon shifting sands of deceit is not built for longevity. It isn't going to last. It can't last. Some people might say that I'm deluded for taking such a stance, but I'd tell them to fuck off. Because really, who are they to stay? Who are they to judge another and to make a statement about someone else's delusions without first unravelling and exploring their own? Now, one of the things about the truth is that what comes with it is an at-easeness. I can be completely relaxed about what I'm stating in these roadcasts, because it's not my intention to deceive, and it's certainly my intention to put out information that, in my experience, my direct first-hand experience, is true, or that can be checked out to be so. And if I mistakenly put something out there that is wrong, or I libel someone, then please don't hesitate to contact me at roguemail, that's roguemale, at thinkfree, all one word, thinkfree.org.uk. Send me an email. Express your points clearly, succinctly, and point out to me any inaccuracies or distortions that I may have unwittingly made. I'll be glad to hear from you. If you've got a genuine case, that is. I suspect most people who I've mentioned on there, Richard Inglis being one fellow who has caused me loss and harm by way of his, let's be charitable and call it by way of his professional negligence, is one such. If Richard decides, and has really got, you know, I'm an honourable man, and if Richard wishes to demonstrate that something I've stated on there is untrue, then he's welcome to get in touch. Not that he will, of course, because I'm only dealing with the facts of the matter. What I write is authentic. The expression of what took place in that theatre of based comedy known as Nottingham County Court is as accurate an interpretation of what transpired as you'll get anywhere. And besides which, I've got the proof to back it up. Similarly with Chris Eyre, who's the Chief Constable of Nottinghamshire Police Force. There's an article on there about the police. I'll link these in the show notes, so you can look. If you haven't seen them already, you can dip into it. It's interesting. Well, I think it's interesting. I suspect if you got this far into the podcast, you're going to find it interesting as well. Whoever you might be. Well, who are you? You're a lovable rogue. That's who you are. A lovable rogue. A resonating rebel. A tempestuous warrior of truth. A valiant defender of the authentic, and a slayer of lies and deceptions. That's who you are. Another reason for getting out, of course, is that it does me the world of good. It does me the world of good. I spend too much time in urban environments, I mean, an inner city environment, and I don't have the vistas there that I have here. I've always been used to these vast open views. As you'd expect when you're on the edge of the Pennines like this, there's an openness to it, a magnificence to it, that I just like being in. It's only natural, of course. Man is not designed, man was not created to be living in grid-like, artificially constructed circuit boards, which is in effect what cities have become. So Cancer Research Limited are in fact a set of liars on the basis that they, and this young man was bought into the lie, they're promulgating the view that there is no cure as of yet for cancer. He could be nescient of that fact, which means he's ignorant of it, but he's only ignorant because the information hasn't come to him yet. Willful ignorance is a different matter altogether. Willful ignorance is where you look away, you resist the accurate and authentic information because it so unsettles your paradigms, displaces your attitudes, and flips your lid that you cannot accept it. You're not prepared to look into it. It's just too much, or so the individual believes. Again, this is a state of mind that is well known to those that would manipulate the consciousness of many individuals. It's a tried and tested technique. there's a good reason why religion is called religion. But of course, what people don't really get is that religion is not just organized spirituality. It's anything that binds the mind, that ties the mind up in a false understanding, an erroneous perception that is at odds to what truly is. And what truly is cannot be touched. It's there, irresolute, as immovable as some of the stone walls surrounding me right now, and those indomitable looking farmhouses up on Scapegoat Hill to my right. I was on the phone this morning to a company in Bristol known as, sorry, not in Bristol, no, in Cardiff, known as Templeton's. Licensed, there's that word again. Templeton's Licensed Property Act receivers. Basically, they're the bandits that are employed by the banks to go and steal often properties that have been deliberately financed by way of an unlawful mortgage, which is never backed up with any valid lawful contract, and involves a sleight of hand whereby the duped punter never receives so much as a single penny. Anyway, I had some stuff in storage at a friend's house which was stolen from him, unlawfully stolen by Templeton's LPA, or a Property Act Receivers. And I had some things in there that were valuable in many ways. Some of them valuable for practical reasons, like a number of tools, which there was a toolbox, there was a drill, you know, painting stuff that I'd had for a number of years, you know, it would be costly to replace. There was some furniture, including a very nice king-size bed and a king-size futon, wardrobe, nice oak desk, number of kitchen items, and some sentimental stuff as well, which was some photographs from the past. Some of them going back as far as 30 years. Anyway, Templeton's moved in, and I immediately noticed them that they had no right to, they were committing trespass on my property, in other words. And I spoke with them directly, as well as emailed them, and they agreed that they were going to look after my stuff, and in the event that it needed to be moved, they would contact me and an arrangement would be made to have it delivered to an address of my choice. That never happened, because shortly afterwards, I think it was within a month, the bank, which is the Bradford and Bingley, that's the front end of it, that's the public face, also known as Mortgage Express, but behind the scenes, it's controlled by the United Kingdom Assets Resolution, another company, a bogus company, which is set up by the government to manage the fake debt of the £85 billion of pounds, imaginary pounds, which the Northern Rock and the Bradford Bingley were bailed out with jointly back in 2008. Now, if you go onto the website and you check out the link to the Chronicle of a Void Mortgage, you will see that I've had dealings with the Bradford and the Bingley before. They're a set of liars. And the first I heard that they'd taken control of the house and my stuff that was in storage there was from the fellow who I'd arranged to store the property through. It was his house in equity and at law. It was his house. So Templeton's trespassed on my property. In fact, you could argue that they stole it because they had no right to break into the house. And therefore, what happened after that was that the Bedford and Bingley employed the services of a guy called Ronnie Mott, all in property services. I think he operates out of Blackpool. And all my stuff was taken out. They wouldn't allow me access to my own stuff, so I wanted to inspect it to see if any of it had been damaged, because I know what kind of goons are employed by these banks, and stuff does get damaged. So I went down to check on it. They claimed that they'd moved it out to a storage facility in the city of Nottingham. So I went there with a friend to check it. And all my stuff had been dumped in a skip, and it was irretrievable. And the dumping of the stuff in the skip coincided with a notice that I'd sent to the bank that I was going to hold them liable for any damages and theft of anything belonging to me. Because, again, you see, it comes back to the issue of trespass. But the initial trespassers and the thieves were Templeton's LPA receivers. And if you equate it with this, you understand what I mean. It's like if I'd broken into someone's house and I'd seized all the personal items in there, and then I passed them on to someone down the pub. Maybe I sold them on, and he gave me a kickback. He gave me some commission for that, a payment for that. At the moment, I passed it on. Does that exonerate me from my wrongdoing, from my initial wrongdoing? No, does it? Fuck. This is what Templeton's are claiming, though. They're claiming, erroneously, that because they passed it over to the Bradford and Bingley and their agents, they're somehow exonerated from the initial act of theft, of trespass. And I said to them, look, I don't care what you think. I want to make, you've acted negligently at best, criminally at worst, but for the purposes of this exercise, I want some compensation. Therefore, please provide me with your professional indemnification insurance details. And of course, they're obliged to do that. If you and I have a collision and we, if two parties have a collision, one guy cannot turn to the other and say, look, I don't feel it was my fault, therefore I'm not going to give you my insurance details. It doesn't work that way. There's no right for them to withhold their insurance details as they are doing. So this has been going on for about 5 months now. These things do drag on. So I rang up today and I'd sent them an email expressing some of the points I've just made on the 9th of April. And I said, look, you better provide me with the insurance details, because it's a demonstrable claim for negligence. And anyway, I phoned up a guy called Jeffrey Davis at Templeton's today. As always, you've got to deal with the first level of gatekeeper. And today it was a woman called Roisin, which is a nice name, I'll go into that one. Pity she has to work in such a devilish organisation. Built on lies. And she assured me that Jeffrey Davis would in fact be calling me back today. I'm not going to hold my breath. And you see, what's happening is that the longer these things go on, the clearer it becomes. And when you've told a lie, in order to keep that lie spinning, other lies have to be created as well. And so it just kind of grows and mushrooms. And I can imagine, you know, I'm going to keep the pressure on them, because there's no way I wouldn't. Well, what else can I do? I'm just standing under the truth. The facts of the matter are plain. They commit a trespass. Compensation, the damages have been caused, compensation is due. What's complicated about that? I don't think anything's complicated about it, actually. Hello.
No.
Nothing complicated about it whatsoever. But I use that as an illustration of how awash this country is right now with lies and deceptions. And these people who tell the lies, you know, it becomes a way of life for them. So they're then so busy creating further lies to cover up the previous lies, but they haven't got any time to focus on that which really is. And that which really is the truth. So they are quite literally living lies. They're living in a world of a web of deceit. They're inhabiting realms of untruth, of falsity. And that's not healthy for anyone. So in a way, I can be very compassionate towards these people that have caused me wrong. Because I know, sadly for them, in the long term, things are going to work out very difficult. Things are going to turn very difficult for them. Because I'm not going anywhere. The truth isn't going anywhere. And wrongdoings have to be balanced out. Scales of equity have to come back into alignment. It's a universal principle. Harmony is the natural state of the universe. And anyone says, as I've touched on before, that there's nothing we can do about it, that we just have to take it and accept it for what it is falling into a trap. And it's a trap not of their own creation, but of the creation of those who put out these memes. The skilled psychological manipulators of language, of images, legal systems and financial operations. You're listening to a rogue cast that's been recorded on a ramble to a place that I'm going to refer to as Dara. That's D-E-I-R-A, Dara, formerly known as Almet, more recently known as West Yorkshire, Huddersfield. But of course, the name is never the thing, just as the map is never the territory. So you see, I can express those facts about Templeton's LPA receivers based in Cardiff. I can state quite clearly that Geoffrey Davis, Paul Jardine, and a guy called Tom Gurley have acted at best negligently towards me. And as a result of their negligence, they've caused damages. They've caused loss and harm. That's the truth. All those items have been lost. My sense of well-being has been harmed. Well, it's my actual well-being that's been harmed. And it's the same with Richard Inglis, because when I was evicted under his behest, not once but twice, then again, I was caused real loss and harm. When a man loses his home, or when a man has his home violently stolen from him by criminals operating for the state, it's a blow. It takes a while to recover from that financially, psychologically. One is caused harm, and you know, it takes some time to re-establish oneself. But hey, I'm still here. I'm still fighting and dancing and tying these cunts up in knots because I'm only standing under the truth. They're the liars and deceivers. They're going to get their comeuppance. But in the meantime, I could do with a few of these illusory credits to compensate me for the damages that they've caused. So fuck them. We'll carry on. One carries on. One keeps at it. The truth fears no examination, whereas the lies spun out by these statists are going to cause them discomfort, unease, possibly even some deep regret. I just walked past a couple of horses there, one grey and one brown. The grey one, I have to say, and this is kind of weird, I don't know if you've ever spotted it before, but it's actually a very pretty looking creature. I can't tell, because it's over the wall, whether it's male or female, but it was a pretty little thing. Maybe that's why some people fall in love with horses. I just thought for the lasses who like to ride horses, it was a bit of a sexual thing. But getting the legs astride that saddle and across the back of the powerful beast, I thought, well, maybe they get some kind of erotic charge from that. And then, anyway, I'm not going down the road of animal love. Let's quickly sidestep that. That is a rogue ramble. That's a rogue offshoot. In an attempt to bring it all back to the starting point, we're going to refocus the ramble to the initial point I was making about the BBC. Don't be surprised, those of you that have got the eyes to see and the ears to hear, if it turns out and it becomes exposed just how prevalent and how dominant an influence the BBC, MI5 is. And if I can find an image of this woman, I'll put it out there so you can judge for yourself, and maybe, if you have the stomach for it, go and listen to her performing. It was almost like a debriefing, and you know, with the overtly pro our boys, our troops message, which of course is an absolute lie, because these guys are in fact paid mercenaries working for the private corporate interests of those agencies that are making a pretty penny out of the bombing, the maladministration and the oppression of countries like Afghanistan, Iraq and Libya. Contractors. You know, and when you know that, you can only... it's amazing to me that anyone, any young fellow, would fall for that and actually buy into the lies and become a soldier. Anyway, this has been another rogue ramble across an interesting spring landscape. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. If you'd like to show your appreciation, please do. Via the website, there's a donations button there. Thank you for your attention. And we'll wish you a fond farewell. And a splendid day or evening or night, whenever you might happen to be listening to this. Greetings from Dara, a Rogue Mail production, coming in your ears on the 28th of April, 2014.